All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news for August 28th, 2023. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern time, and this is a special ninth anniversary episode of the crowd forecast news series. And it is also just happens to be episode number 400. So my name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com. And today I have arranged for several special guests to join us. It's great to have Dave Landry back and Mike Pisani and AJ Brown. Dave Landry is davelandry.com. AJ Brown is tradingtrainer.com and Mike Pisani of smartoptiontrading.com. And they haven't been here in a while, so it's great to have them back. But then also Michael Filigera of logicalsignals.com and tradershelpingtraders.com, who's been a great regular contributor still, is here to moderate. So you should be seeing his screen right now, and happy to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Thank you very much, David. And thank you for inviting me to moderate today on what is a special show and full of some of the original people. And according to what David has told me, I was a guest on the second show.
Yeah, the very second episode, yeah.
And Dave Landry was the moderator.
But, I'm pretty sure. I think Dave wasn't on the first time until, it was actually several episodes in. It was like the sixth or seventh. But then Dave did such a great job, and I have been thinking about getting a moderator anyway. So I asked him to do it, and then he was the moderator on the first several years after that.
Rest is history.
Yeah. So and
there
he,
you go.
He did such a great job that it was the show didn't really I was not
I don't remember who possibly was moderating on that time.
Yeah, until Dave, it was just me trying to moderate and run the show and everything. So the show really didn't take off until Dave started moderating.
That it was
thank you. And then Michael took over. So he was doing such a great job. I was like, well, why don't you get Michael?
And
anyway, thank you again. And thanks, guys. I've been excited since David told me about it. And whoever was moderating, David, let me just say, on my first, which was the second show, it was a David that moderated.
So
I was just kind of thinking Dave Landry. So
that's like
my
an easy
apologies.
Dart to throw at the wall in this group.
Yeah, I know, right? There's a fairly good chance. So in any case, let's start with a round robin of who we are, what we're up to these days. Let me just start by saying that. And I'm going to start with Dave.
Okay. To those of you who don't know me, Dave Landry here from davelandry.com. I've been trading for a long, long time since early 90s. I've written three books on trading. I'm known in the industry as a trend following moron. Initially, when I was called that by a famous trader, who I'm not going to say his name, but I was quite offended. But then I realized that when I tried to fight the markets, I lost a lot of money, but when I just followed along like a good little moron, I tended to do quite well. Not every day, not all day, but over time. So that's kind of my shtick there. I try to keep things as simple as possible, and I've reduced it down to, I believe you can't reduce the trading system down to a cocktail napkin, then toss it out. So that's my way of doing things. I know you guys do things a little bit more complex way of looking at things, but I think when you boil it all down, the market's either going up, down, or sideways.
Thank you. Next up, AJ.
Hey, everybody. This is AJ, and you can find things about me at tradingtrainer.com. I've been doing this since the late 90s, and my focus is really on sideways, boring stocks or ETFs or indexes that you can trade option premium on, specifically selling. I like to teach my folks to make sure they're on the right side of the equation. So if there's a big push to buy options, I want to be the one selling it. But very similar to Dave, I like to keep it very simple. I have so many, my focus is not so much to be sitting in front of the computer all hours of the day. but I'd rather be figuring out how to automate these things so I can spend some time end of day preparing for the next day and then programming the bots so that I can play. We were talking right before we went live about how I, in my late 40s, early 50s, have decided to run away and join the circus. So one of my sideline passions is being a trapeze artist. So that takes a lot of time in my day. And so I've got to figure out how to do this as simply as possible with as little time as possible, but keep my portfolio growing. So that's kind of what my claim to fame is.
And thank you very much. I like that claim. And Mike Pisani, you're up next.
Thanks. First of all, congrats on the 400th episode, guys. Great job, David, to you. You can find me at smartoptiontrading.com. I've been trading since just after the financial crisis. That's when I got my feet wet and got a love of it. And, you know, that was a heck of a time to start trading, but it's worked good for me. I run a trading room. Every day we look for momentum. And that's one of the things we're always looking for is momentum. Which names are in play? What's not in play? And I like what some of the other people said here. There's, you know, in a market like today, for me, it's a very do very little market because the market's not going anywhere today. We're kind of in this very low volume environment. And what I do is I set the tone for the day with all my members. And I sit there and tell them the option flow, what's going on, what I'm trading, what I like, or what I'm specifically looking at. And if you like that, take a visit at smartoptiontrading.com and come join us.
Thank you very much. And again, I'm Michael Filiguera, and I am the chief cook and bottle washer over at TradersHelpingTraders.com and LogicalSignals.com. You guys are definitely making me feel like the grandpa today. I started trading in 1979. I was an options market maker out here on the Pacific Exchange. I have traded here in San Francisco. I've traded on the London Traded Options Market, the European Options Exchange, which was in Amsterdam, and also on the DTB in Germany. And that was my first introduction to all electronic trading. I returned to the United States in 1997, came back to San Francisco, switched to off-floor once the U.S. caught up and also everything went electronic. And there basically stopped being a need for open outcry. And that's what we did as market makers on a trading floor. So I switched, put up an office in my home, and that's where I've been ever since. In about 2013, 2014, I turned it all around and decided that I didn't really want to carry positions and options overnight. Volatility was pretty wild and crazy. And so I decided that I'd become a day trader. And that's basically been my focus since. Although today I'm very excited to hear from two folks that I know are strong options traders. And those are AJ and Mike. And how we begin. And we're going to follow the old format here today, guys. And the number one question that we normally ask is the S&P, and we can use either or, but I'm going to start with the futures, the ES, because that's kind of what I have up on my screen. And if I function it correctly, the ES opened at, I'm going to say 44.37, and that's just where our opening was, the U.S. opening. We're not going to go back to it was 44.18, but that includes the Globex session. So from 44.37.75, and we're going to go round robin again, beginning with Dave. Higher or lower by Friday? And then also at the same time, kind of give us what you feel your probability is.
Okay. Are we just talking or are we going to share screens at this point?
If you would like to, I can flip it and we can share your screen.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead. Let's go ahead and share a screen here. Just bear with me. Okay. So you're no longer sharing, so I should be able to share now. Okay. Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just a little rusty. It's been a few years since we've done this, so bear with me one second. Let's just hop into this aspect here. So if we take a look at the S&P, and if you take a look at the bow tie moving averages, and this is a 10 simple, 20 exponential, and 30 exponential, you can see we were doing pretty good in here. This was one of the better summers. The sell in May people just got decimated because the market went pretty much straight up. So that was fantastic for a trend follower like myself. But then obviously we ran into a little trouble here and the market began to roll over. So right now we've got a 10 simple, 20 exponential, 30 exponential, or in downtrend proper order. And that's usually not a good thing, but obviously we're rallying a little bit today. But for the most part, we're in chop mode. So I'm going to say we're going to be, I think we'll be a little lower by Friday, but those type of as a trend follower right now, I would say sideways if that was an answer, but I'll just say that for now, until we get back above these moving averages and show a little strength in here, I'm going to say that right now, the shorter term between now and Friday is going to be weakness. And my confidence is going to be about 60% on that.
Thank you very much. And AJ?
I can actually, I'd like to share my little screen too, because I look at things just slightly different. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and click my little button here, right here, share. So I like to pay attention to the previous moves, reversal to reversal, to get kind of an idea. And so very similar to what Dave said with his butterfly pattern, with his 2010, and I believe it was the five. As soon as we retraced and got this bottom, and I go reversal to reversal on closes, end of day closes. As soon as we did a more than 100% retracement here, that's when I called the end of that uptrend that we had been seeing. But we're not necessarily on an ideal downtrend right now. I wanted to see if I was going to call that, I would have seen a close below this 4,350 area here. So as far as the end of the week, I'm kind of in the same boat. I haven't yet got a confirmation that we're going to, you know, start to travel back up. At the same time, I am seeing the a minimal amount of just intraday strength, but it's kind of on the weaker side. So I'm going to say that I'm going to go the opposite, but I'm going to keep the same confidence. I'm going to say it's going to be a little tiny bit higher, but I'm only 50 to 60% confident. And I think we're actually, just like Dave, sideways choppy in the near term future.
Great. Thank you very much. And Mike?
All right, let's see if I can share my screen. Nope, it's saying, there we go.
Yeah, you can now.
Yeah, was I even sure?
You were.
Oh,
you
cool.
Were.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm going to go with, first of all, seasonality is not in our favor here, right? And August is typically a very difficult month, as it's known to be a very choppy month, not necessarily a down month, but a choppy month. And September is typically the worst trading month of the year. And this week is a low volume week. And boy, when we talk about low volume, mm-hmm. I want you to look at the SPY today, and it is 115 and we've only traded 30 million shares. There's nothing going on. This candle today to me is absolutely a meaningless candle in this market. That said, we have yet to retest last Friday's low and the 50 days resistance. And we have a ton of data coming at us this week. We have jobs data Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We have GDP on Wednesday. We have PCE on Thursday, and we have non-farm payroll on Friday. My little puppy's going nuts for some reason. Sorry about that. And I think this market's going to try to trend down. So I'm going to say 60% chance we go a little bit lower here. Notice the SPY hit the 21-day, stopped, hit the 8-day. The 8-day moved up as it moved up and stopped. We're trading in this a very monotonous range here. So that's my call, 60% to the downside on seasonality, but not a huge drop.
Great. Thank you very much. And again, I am now going to put my screen back up. And basically, for those of you that know me, my primary analysis tool or indicator is Elliott Wave and Fibonacci. And I have been doing Elliott Wave since the late 80s. I publish my analysis via YouTube every single day. And I do an update on the S&P and the NASDAQ, which are the two markets that I basically trade. Here in the S&P, the downtrend, as everybody so eloquently has talked about, was very convincing and very clear. And on an Elliott basis, put in the first minor wave down, and there's going to be a total of five waves, 2 corrects, 1, 4 corrects, 3. So 1, 3, and 5 would be stronger down waves. And so out of this, we have put in minor wave 1, and that correction, which took us up to Thursday's highs, completed the minor wave 2, which puts us back into the downtrend. But once again, what's inside that minor wave 3 are 5 waves of minute degree, of which we finished the first one on Friday, then ended higher, but still put in that low on Friday, bumped up. And now again, we're trying to finish up and put in a minute wave 2. And so as everybody else has so eloquently stated, we all seem to use moving averages of varying degrees, but on the daily 50 EMA, it's bonking its head up on that one again. Now, it's been trying to do and break above it. It does, but it slips and comes back below, which just continuing to prove it seems to be a pretty strong resistance area. If we can get a solid break above there, I think our next level up is 4460-ish, 4458, 4460. And I think then that can cap off this smaller wave too. Now, that would make my call for Friday. And again, just restating all the excellent information that Mike just gave us and the number of economic data that we have coming out starting on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday is all pointing towards what Chairman Powell was talking about on his Jackson Hole speech on Friday, that inflation is still problematic, that interest rate hikes are still a probability, a strong probability. And we already know that they're lining up to probably do the next one at the September meeting, et cetera, et cetera. So I think what the market is just doing right now is just a normal bounce after that strong, in fact, 2 days of a bounce after that strong decline off of Thursday that we got. So again, my call is that by Friday, lower. The close will be lower than 44.38. And I know that's really bold of us, right, that we're talking about, gee, we're going to be lower or higher. So the outside chance that it may actually get up to that 44.60 area between now and Friday and close up there, I think can really have something to do with, again, how these numbers come out towards the end of the week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And then also, which is something that I probably will turn over to my option guys, zero DTE options and how they want to trade and how gamma flows go between now and then moving into Friday as to where that expiration might be. But I'm saying lower, and I am giving that, I'm going to go with the 60% probability. And primarily because I think, as all of us realize, our markets are pretty crazy right now, and they're moving every which way that they choose, and sometimes go contrary to what really the belief would be. It was like, why are you guys doing this when we're confronting these issues? So with that in mind, I'm going to move on to our next one. And basically what we can kind of talk about now is basically just not necessarily backup information about what we're doing, because we all know it is a very low volume day. And again, reconfirmed by the data that Mike was bringing in. But what I'd like to kind of just toss out there for everybody is any other information that you want to provide towards what propels the market in one way or the other, what you may see coming. If I were to start, I'd be saying, as I did, that I think that we're getting very close to finishing up a small bounce, and that would be off of actually last week's lows, so Friday's low, and we're finishing that up. We have now surpassed, but we still got that resistance now kind of coming back in as maybe a little bit of support at 44.39, whether that actually holds or whether they want to continue to push. But our next level up is 44.60. And then again, the high up here at 44.85. I don't believe that we're going to start breaking out and heading higher and higher and higher. Doesn't mean it won't happen. Doesn't mean it can't happen. But I think that there has to be a catalyst either way. So that's kind of what I want to bring in as to what you guys are seeing in terms of possible catalyst, or just what could switch this whole situation and put us into a nosedive as we saw last Thursday. So again, let's start with Dave.
Okay. Let me see if I can get, I have a different screen I want to share. So I'm going to go ahead. I think you have to let go of yours. Yeah, there we go. And let me see, can you share just a browser? Yeah, should be able to work here. And let me share this. So I have a simple little system. I actually call it the TFM 10% system. And I'm 100% technical based. So there might be some catalysts here and there. And maybe if we could take out the, I forget what high that was. I think it was 45.50 where they downgraded our debt. That would be like a major news reversal. But that would also be obviously a technical level to get through too. So that would be a good thing. But what you're looking at here is I have a TFM 10% system. And when the market on a weekly basis closes below the 10% line, which is right here, this is just 10% of the 50-week closing high. When it closes below that and the 50 simple moving average, you want to get out of the way. So a sell signal would have been right here in the market. There was a previous sell signal right here. And then a buy signal, you need two lows above the moving average. And also you have to be above this 10% line, which again is just 10% of the 50-week closing high. And it does a pretty good job of catching up to the market if the market stays in a bear market for a long time like we did over the last year or so. And it also tends to get you out of every, well, so far it's gotten you out of every bear market in history, just a simple little system, which is kind of amazing when you think about it. Now, one of my clients pointed out in a webinar 2 weeks ago, the week in charts, he pointed out that the 5% line is usually a good place to think about getting out. So I started plotting that here. So this green line is 100% of the 50-week closing high. Obviously, we made that closing high last day of 2022. And that held, obviously, it's 50 weeks, and then it starts dropping to catch up with the market. So there is a little lag built into this. But the point I want to kind of drive home is, as long as we're above this red zone here, which is 5% off the 50-week closing high, which is now this high here, the market is okay. It doesn't mean you should rush out and buy it. I am still long, just full disclosure. I'm still long the queues. There was a similar signal back here. I'm long the queues from 319. Going through a bit of a drawdown now, obviously. But the point is, this is a really simple kind of a net price movement to look at. And just this simple little system can help keeping the right side of the market. So if we drop below, let's say 4350 in the S&P 500, I would start getting concerned. Longer term, things look pretty good. I think as Mike Pete kind of hinted, we're kind of in that summer doldrum mode or chop mode. And I think you two, the other Mike F was talking about that. That we're just kind of beginning to chop around. And it's like early the summer was fantastic. And now all of a sudden summer finally hit and we're kind of in that soup, so to speak. But I would watch this 5% level. And then of course I would get really concerned if we drop down into that 10% zone.
Great. I like this chart.
Thank you.
I like the information very much so. AJ, I want to just, being that you do focus on options, you do focus on premium. I want to bring in the VIX and something that I have followed and when wondering if you do is the dispersion trend. And that actually involves where large players and it has become more in line and more active with zero DTE option popular.
Right.
But that they, when the dispersion trade is going in one way, they're selling the volatility indexes or the volatility in the index, and they're buying volatility in the component.
Right.
And so, and it can be a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? Because if you really think about it, why would you sell the VIX? It's basically because you're feeling the market are going to go up. Mm-hmm. And so if you were buying component volatility as a trader or as a market maker, you're selling that. So you're selling the premium, but your hedge is either buying other volatility or you're buying the underlying. So go right ahead. Yeah, please jump in. This is
let me grab control here.
Do I stop sharing or okay?
Oh, there we go. Already done for you.
Yeah, I fixed it.
Sure. Look at that. You guys are spot on here. Right. I think that I'm sharing what I want to be sharing, which is my VIX chart. And so indeed, the VIX, so just focusing on the VIX itself, the VIX was higher, and it's definitely below its overall mean, but it's been creeping back up. But at this point in time, not sure again if it's because there's just a lack of volume, a lot of people sitting on the sidelines or such. But we haven't had any of these emergency, like the VIX is shooting up and that we should all be, hedging ourselves for a big downturn. So one of the things I was going to mention, especially of, you know, do I fear that the bear is going to start jumping out the window? I keep my eye on that VIX, like you've been mentioning. If that VIX were to jump, especially above its mean, I'd be thinking about that. At the same time, coming on back to the S&P 500, if you look back about 18 months, you had a whole bunch of folks jumping into the S&P, you know, suffering from fear of missing out and probably, most possibly, people that probably shouldn't be in the markets to begin with. And they've been white knuckling it this whole time, waiting to be able to tell their significant other that they haven't lost the family fortune, right? So there's, in my view of things, when I'm taking a look at orders and at 4,600, and then again at the all-time high at 4,800, there is some heavy selling. And I don't see, You know, at one point before we broke this current uptrend, I was actually saying that perhaps we could pull back, gain some momentum, and get enough buyers to be able to outweigh all those sellers that have been waiting months to be able to get out of the markets. I don't think that's happening, at least in the end of 2023. So I'm watching these levels between about 4,350 and 4,600, which is where I think we're going to be at least until the end of the year. In the meantime, yeah, there's a lot of interest going on where you're either, you know, what I like to have folks do is I like to, them to buy their volatility far out in time, right? You know, 3-6 months where there's not going to be as interesting of a change in the implied volatility on an option, and then sell that one that's going to expire 7 to 10 days from now. And there has been a lot of trades in the last 2 months during this boring time of the summer doldrums, and probably well into September, where we can capitalize on these little mini almost like 1 or 2 day spikes in implied volatility on whether it be news or even earnings announcements for individual components. So there's all sorts of opportunities for this sideways chop coming on. And that's exactly what I like to do.
AJ, what options are you using for volatility?
So if I'm, if it's, for instance, in an individual company who's got something scheduled like an earnings, I'll be trading the options. I'll be doing, and again, it depends on if I have any insights into a directional move or not. But what I'd like to do ideally is on a really boring stock where the investors historically have gone ho-hum. Maybe there's a little bit of 1 or 2 day movement. I'd like to get in at an at the money, and I'd actually like to trigger the purchase of a calendar spread on price crossing the strike price of the calendar spread. And I'd like to get out after the event, whatever it be, whether it be a big event. And in that case, I'd be doing this on like a SPY or a Q. But if it's a stock specific event, I'd like to then trigger the exit 2 or 3 days later after the event on that same criteria. So
selling Ruber and covering the news, I guess.
Exactly.
I have a couple things to chime in with VIX if you guys want to continue that conversation, or is that okay, Michael?
Do it.
Okay, I'm gonna have to, let me get shared here.
Are you trying to tell me the VIX is alive? Because I'm pretty sure it's dead.
No, I'm gonna actually tell you that the VIX only matters when it matters, and I'll show you when it matters, or sometimes when it matters. You're just a little background. Years ago, I think it was in 1994 or 3 or 5, I forget. I'm starting to forget things, but I used to do some research and programming for Larry Connors, and he kind of dug that I was able to program and also understood the markets. And he basically said that the VIX tends to return to its mean mean revert. Mean reversion. Yeah. So I thank you. So what I started doing was I started kind of taking what he said literally and using the mean, meaning a moving average. And I did a lot of work with the 10-day simple. And I don't trade it nearly as much as I used to because I've kind of gone away from short-term systems. Not that I won't put in intraday trades or day trades occasionally more than I should. But as far as like holding short-term positions, I don't do that anymore. But I will hold positions longer term, short term to long term, as far as like individual stocks. We've got a few we've been in for a couple of months now. But getting back to the VIX, it only matters when it matters. And the times I find it matters the most is when you get stretched 10% or more away from the 10-day simple moving average. So sometimes the VIX will go down and normalize at a lower level like we did back here. And then obviously it'll normalize to higher levels. But the Connors initially used fixed numbers, and I think the number back in the day was 15, but I discovered fairly quickly that it's more of a fluid situation. But the thing you want to watch is, again, when you get stretched 10% or more, and you can see down here, for instance, this is the close, this yellow line here. So you can see we're up about 20%, getting pretty stretched there. And notice that we had a decent little rally. This is the S&P underneath. And in the overall market when that begins to occur. So you get a bit of a panic, you get stretched, and then the market tends to do just the opposite. So we are getting a little stretched in here. So that's the good news. And if we continue to get stretched in here, then we could get a nice little bounce in the overall market. So that's something to keep an eye on. So just if you're stretched more than 10% one way or the other, look for a reversion to the mean in both the VIX and in price. And one thing you do want to do, don't just blindly buy it because it's stretched, because as you guys know, overbought or oversold, however you want to look at it, can become way overbought or way oversold. But what you do is wait for some sort of reversal. So you can see like right in here, the VIX begins to reverse, and maybe that's a good time to short the VIX and possibly go long the market. So again, it only matters when it matters, and it matters most when it's stretched 10% or more away from the 10-day simple moving average.
Believe it or not, you just absolutely hit the nail on the head with the dispersion trade. That's exactly what the dispersion trade is. It's great. Thank you both AJ. And now Mike, please. This is a great discussion on volatility, on the VIX and on options and everything else. So please, let's go ahead and add to it.
Can somebody release the screen?
Yep.
Whoever has it, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to take a different view on this than you guys, and I'm going to go over why. So first of all, the option market is dead right now. I mean, it is really completely dead. If you see on the left side of my screen, I post this for my members every day. You know, here's the only flow that I thought was notable today and Friday, right? You can see here on the left side of my screen, there's not a lot of great flow out there right now. It's that time of year. It's not unusual. What I see happening here, and I think the question was, Michael, was, you know, what do I see as a catalyst to move this market one way or the other? And I talked about this to members over the weekend. There was some very specific notes out by Macy's and Nordstrom that got my attention. And both of them said specifically they're seeing a steep rise in credit card delinquencies and defaults. And that to me is the first warning sign that the consumer is getting strained. We talked, Michael, you brought up that inflation is, you know, the Fed and inflation is still running rampant. And the average person tries to keep their Visa, MasterCards, right, good. But the secondary credit cards, when they have trouble, the first ones to go. And you're seeing that here with Macy's and Nordstrom. And that to me is a big warning sign that's starting to flash here in this market. Now, I'll go on record as I still think we're going to put an all-time high in this year before this year ends. But if you're asking me for the catalyst that's coming, it's the amount of consumer debt that's out there. And I think that is overall a big problem. And the VIX is not accounting for anything right now. And I think the VIX is probably...
Would you consider that a catalyst to go up or catalyst for the market to decline?
I think it's a catalyst for the market to decline defaults go up and, you know, people stop spending. Mm-hmm. The danger becomes is what happens if people don't have money or they can't afford to put anything else in their credit cards for the Christmas season, which is a big retail season, right? So we have, I'm not a bear, but we have potential things out there that nobody's really paying attention to pushing. In addition to that, on the daily chart on the S&P 500, and it's on the IWM and the Qs, you have a head and shoulders pattern that has developed here. And this needs to be paid attention to because it is a pretty decent sized head and shoulder. And if it triggers, and that basically means we take out roughly Friday's low or the low from all the way back here on the 26th, it gives us our 10% correction. And something this market is, you know, I see so many people complaining about this market. We haven't had a pullback or a correction in pretty much the entire year, right? This market took off last October. And other than the brief pullback we had in the beginning of the year, that's it. It's been to the races. So we're finally getting a little bit of corrective activity, which is great because it helps set up the technicals again. Right. For me, I'm sorry.
I was saying correct. Thank you. Go right ahead. I'm sorry.
Nope. No, it's all good. For me, when I trade options, I'm either trading them right now, day trading them. I'm trying to swinging options in this market is very difficult. I think selling premium is a good market to do that in as long as you understand what you're doing. But to try to trade directional options in this market and swing them, I mean, this market has a horrible tendency to close on the lows of the highs and gap in the opposite direction and go the opposite direction the next day.
I would agree 100% with that.
You know, it's just not that environment. So I'm trading more stock and more futures, to be honest with you, and just quickly getting in and out. And I think everything is a tool. Everything we have is a tool, whether it's options, stock, or futures. And you have to learn which ones to use when the time is right. So that's my thoughts here on this, Mark.
Right. Good stuff, Mike. Thank you so much. Just to layer in one additional problem that is on the horizon is getting some voice, but tends to be ignored by a lot of the market players. And I'm not sure why the bigger players, I do not think that they're ignoring it. But that we have the credit markets. The credit markets are under some severe pressure. And you're getting a sideline word about that via Macy's and what was the other retail player?
Nordstrom.
Nordstrom.
Which, by the way, was surprising to me because they're a high-end retailer.
Yeah.
They're a high-end retailer. And they pulled. Now, I live in San Francisco, everybody, but we had a downtown mall that was ferociously popular. Tourists, locals, everybody. And Nordstrom's was an anchor, huge anchor store there. And they shut it down and it closed on Friday. And it had been coming, but it closed on Friday. Here's the other thing that's happening in San Francisco that I know is likely happening in other cities as well. We have more major players in commercial real estate that are walking away from their loans, walking away from their obligations and giving it back to the lender. And we have a vacancy, commercial vacancy factor here in San Francisco of 31%. I'm not sure why, but David, the music's back on. There we go.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Someone needs to be sharing their screen at all times because it ends up as just a black screen if not.
Sorry about that.
So I was trying to be subtle about sharing mine, but that didn't work. So.
All right.
Thank you.
Back up here. So some of the, what I'm really seeing, and I want to add here, they're actually doing a beautiful recovery. They did a huge spike this morning, HYG, which is the high yield. So this bit of a recovery is just putting in the top for this. And I really think that that is going to sink back again. So we're talking about high yield. And we're also now can add in to the, let's talk about a little, if we can, let's talk about the bond market.
Can I interrupt for a second, Mike?
Of course.
I'm glad you brought up HYG and, you know, the corporate junk bonds, but they have not been, you know, I look for them to lead the market up or down, right? They're usually the canary in the coal mine. They're usually the first to go in either direction. And they haven't been doing that this year. And that's been very difficult for me with them.
Yeah, I agree. And I think primarily because there's been sort of tremendous problems in credit markets. So corporate credit markets and other credit markets, we really are getting in trouble. We had Fitch give us a downgrade. We had S&P Moody's give a downgrade. But when the United States of America gets downgraded and the quality of their debt, and it's kind of totally just like, oh, we don't need to look at that. It's like, wow. So I really find that, you know, talk about canaries in the coal mine. I think commercial real estate, there's a tremendous amount of commercial real estate that needs to be refinanced. And the bigger players in this whole process of being refinanced is usually the more localized or regional banks who just also got a huge downgrade.
Yeah, they did.
Moody's. So I think that if we got a really canary in the coal mine, and what we're really looking at is, I think we get mixed messages from the VIX. I think that the whole focus sometimes on trading and all three of you, I'm loving the information that you're providing, and I believe it's very tradable information. So don't misunderstand me. But I think that the nature of how we're trading, when you have people that are really kind of looking like, oh, we're in a new bull market, so we got to sit still for the long run, that's like waiting to be slaughtered. And because I think even the volatility play, even the dispersion trade, when you're talking about big enough players that are coming in and can move huge amounts, and they do via the options, can slip in and out of these positions, lickety-split, and everybody else is thinking, well, look, VIX, oh, we must be complacent, so the market must be going to go up. Oh, look at the Dow. Dow's up 200. I just think that we're really sending mixed messages. And if we look at, like you just brought up, Mike, about HYG, the things that each one of you have added to what we need to be looking at, I think that sometimes when we're discussing them, and I'm not talking about today, we need to put a little bit of a time frame in there. Now, I know, Mike, you said that what you were looking at by end of the year. I would add to that that I don't disagree with your statement. I think that the timing might be a little bit different than what I'm looking at. I look at it, I'm going to go back over, and I'm going to go to the S&P, and I'm going to come out here to a weekly chart so I can show it. This is only just a 3-year, but you can see what I have going on here is that the S&P completed a super cycle third wave. So what, and it, by the way, folks, it took 90 years, and I can't do that via the S&P future because it didn't exist. But if I look at the SPX, it did, and all I need to do is come out here to my maximum chart, and suddenly I'm back to that date, by the way, which is 1932. So I've got 90 years of data that it took to get that Supercycle Wave 3 complete. And within that was a major crash, a depression, additional crashes, a couple of wars, the 70s, which was like puke city. And then we had this magnificent rally coming out of that. And then we had another financial collapse. Now, mind you, let me just say, see this right here? That's the 1987 crash. I was there, folks. We thought the world was coming to an end.
It didn't end.
And what caused that were credit market, was the dollar, was the bond market, and not just ours, international. Then we had this whole sideways move where the Dow basically all by itself went to a new all-time high just before we got into the financial collapse, the great financial collapse of 2008, 2009. What brought that on? A lot of money being in hands that it shouldn't have been in mortgages.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here we are.
Ironically, now, I'm rewatching The Big Short. It's really entertaining. Watching it 10 minutes at a time.
Every time
I go in for lunch, it scares the hell out of you. And geez, I remember the credit was nuts back then. And it was just amazing credit to see all these nuts people.
And look where we're heading again.
Yeah. My wife is kind of another. She's a notary, but back then she did a lot of marketing towards people who were creating loans and selling loans. And we would hang out with a lot of these people, and it was kind of like spring break, and yep. They had cigarette boats, and they had it was a lot of fun, but it was just crazy. Like, and the whole time I'm like, this is going to come to end, and this is going to end badly, and it sure did.
Yeah.
Anyway, I just wanted to kind of throw that in, just because it sounds like if I'm hearing you correctly, it's starting to get a little scary again.
It's starting to get a little scary again, but I tend to usually tell people it is like don't rely on fear. If fear is coming into your equation, you need to kind of rethink what you're doing.
That's a great point, because again, I always tell people the market can be, what's the right word for it? The market can be just stupidly in the other direction longer than you can be solvent.
Yeah. Our market can stay, what is it? Irrational longer than
irrational,
you can stay solvent.
That was it. Couldn't come up with the word. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. That was that Greenspan or that was, I forget who that was. Might've been Keynes.
It was Greenspan. It was Greenspan. So irrational exuberance was his statement, exactly. But just to kind of finish up what I'm talking about here, we had this tremendous rally right off of the 2009 lows. Just this incredible, I don't want to use the word that comes to my mind, but, you know, let's just keep a clean nutcracker. All the way up. I mean, unbelievable. Why? Because we have Federal Reserve that had zero interest rate policies and held them. And then let me just open this up a little bit. If I go here, here we have the great financial collapse. Then we had COVID. So here we bailed out corporations, right? We had the demise of all of our banks, we had the demise of savings and loans. Everything just kind of went to the toilet. So everybody needed to get bailed out. Here we had COVID, but we needed to bail out corporations so that they could pay their employees who were also suffering. So here we again. This one, we had over $8 trillion injected into the system. Here, I think it was 6 or 7. But we're upwards of having a debt of $31.4 trillion in the United States. Do we wonder why we got downgraded? So along with that we have a political system that is going to use it as a political tool. Our ability to pay our obligations is being used to say, well, we'll just shut down the government and you won't be able to do it. We won't pass things. Now, what I'm considering is that we the corrections that are in place that are happening are multi-year, but they don't go straight down. Nothing goes straight up, although it feels like. So I think that what we're now involved in is a corrective phase that is going to take multi-years than what we had. Because again, if you understand Elliott, you get an ABC correction, but it's going to be on several degrees. So we're having an ABC correction to fulfill a supercycle degree fourth wave. How far down should that go? Well, it's going to be layered all the way down. So right now we're just working through what I consider the absolute first phase. We're just working up to a cycle degree A wave. So Mike, when you're talking about that you expect higher new all-time highs, I do agree with you. But I think we got to get down and finish our primary C wave, which may take us through the end.
Yeah, we're going to do a quick 10% correction probably into September and maybe in the beginning of October. And then we're going to rally hard into the end of the year. That's my thesis, Mike. Well, I could be wrong. So please, you know, it's my thesis.
No, it isn't being right or wrong. It really isn't, in my view.
Because you would get your corrective wave.
If you're forecasting a 10% decline in the market, that's not being wrong. You know, I think we're into a space, guys, where I don't think it's right or wrong. I think it is we are using the technology that we have, the systems that we have, to produce a forecast or just an idea of where we think the markets are going to go. But who was it? I think David, you said that the markets are fluid. And if we can't stay fluid with how our views go, and what is the catalyst these days for the market? Well, a lot of times, you know, when we're really having a great option flow and things are really moving along, zero DTE options folks have a much stronger drive to where a market's going to open and close.
But they've completely changed this market on a day-to-day basis.
Absolutely. So I think when we put that all together, there isn't any right or wrong. We're just following the price action. We're following what we see. Now, I have a larger, where I'm looking for this decline to come in. Somebody said, well, what's going to cause it? Well, I'm like, well, gee, I could give you a list of 10, 20 things. You can pick one or two or three. But even that seems to change almost on a daily basis. And here's what I think the reason is. The excess capital that is in this market that is blindly given to asset managers, to fund managers, to everybody on the street who has to put that money to work. You operate a long fund, you don't go short. The money you receive, you must go long. That's the way things are written. That's how the law works. So again, I see a lot of people coming in and just keep tossing the money in. For example, let's wait till not necessarily next week, which will be in September, but right around next Tuesday and Wednesday, not this week, next week, there will be an inflow of capital from 401k and IRAs that will be put into the market.
Every first trading day of the month, Michael.
Pretty much. I call it actually the first Tuesday and Wednesday of week one and two. Because it gets, you know, but you're right. You're right on that, at the beginning of each month. And that gives a boost to the market. So again, how's this all going to work out? Well, I think that the commercial credit crunch, I think that the fact that inflation is still, you know, really got a grip on a lot of stuff. But let's not forget what comes after a period of inflation. Well, we're going to have to deflate. What happens during periods of deflation? Well, what's going to lose value? Overvalued options. And I'm telling you, AJ, you're going to be in your prime. Mm-hmm. You have plenty, plenty, plenty to do. Not that you don't already. But anyway, that's kind of my two cents on what I think is going on. But I think once we do get, this was the beat. I should actually turn this back over to the S&P because the cash market actually is my alternate count, which shows that we still have the possibility to go up and break above that 4,600 level now versus later.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, I'm looking for a major decline back down. And I could put it in, but I'm looking at actually 2980 to about 32 is where I think the market will bottom, maybe not by the end of this year, but I think within the first quarter of 2024, it will get a bottom. And then what comes after, because that'll be a cycle degree A wave, what comes after is a cycle degree B wave counter trend rally. This was a B wave, jump it up by 1 degree. So it's kind of like if you live in California and you know how to rate an earthquake. So what the difference between an 8.0 and a 9.0 is about 1,000 times more difficult or harder or worse. So same thing here, you're popping up a degree. Here is an intermediate degree B wave. This is a primary degree B wave. Well, I'm gonna be coming down one more and I'm gonna be starting from somewhere down here. And then you definitively has a shot at new all-time highs, all to be described at some other point. What I'm gonna do, because boy, it goes fast, is A, for me, thank you, the three of you, Dave Landry, AJ Brown, Mike Pisano, for coming in and sharing this time together with me. It's been a long time. I hope we get another opportunity to do it again. So what I want to do is again, go around round robin and again, just tell us how we can get a hold of you and any other last closing remarks that you might have. And we'll start with Dave.
Okay, well, thanks again for having me and thanks to David Cosman for having me here. If you need to reach me, DaveLandry.com, or you can find me on my website, www.davelandry.com. Dave.com. And on YouTube, I'm at Dave Landry. Again, I think we're in a bit of the chop right now, possibly the late summer doldrums. Like you guys pointed out, the volume has dropped out. Mike P, I'd like to talk to you. I don't know if there's time today, but it's interesting. You said the zero DTE is something that I've become fascinated with lately is controlling the market. So maybe on your turn, you can maybe chime in a little bit and explain to us what you're seeing and how that's affecting things. But for now, I think we're in a bit of a chop. I think now's the time to be super selective. I have on one short that's KBH. That's a home builder. I do not want to be shorting the home builders, but they look like they're rolling over. So that's about the only play that I'm really taking right now. I have a one long KNF and another long LFMD, and that's it. That I've been super selective and for the most part, been sitting on my hands waiting for this market to trend one way or the other. I'd love for it to go up, but whatever way it goes, it goes. But again, for now, I think we're in the chop, and I think now's the time to just sit on your hands and let things shake out.
By the way, just to quickly add something else about this market went from low of the day to high of the day and back to low of the day in the time we've been talking here.
Yeah, I've been watching it. It was breaking out to the upside. I'm like, why is it when you get in a webinar, everything takes off? And luckily, I hate to admit this, but I almost got sucked into the upside, and now it's breaking out to the downside. So I was like, oh, okay, well, you know.
All in the period of webinar. 60 minutes,
yeah.
Anyway, AJ,
you can find me by going to TradingTrainer.com, or you can check out, we've been very active on our YouTube channel, so just go into YouTube and search for Trading Trainer. And one thing that my folks are religiously doing is rolling out. So we've been talking a lot about the VIX, and if you look at the overall history of the VIX, you know, as the VIX goes down, it means roughly that investors are feeling confident. And then as it spikes up, there's fear taking over. There's a lot of uncertainty. And so you'll notice that it doesn't, you know, it's human nature, right? It's a mirror of human nature. Yes. We never really get that confident, do we? But when we get freaked out, we get freaked out. So what we've been doing is we've actually been finding a level around $13, $12, and we'll actually sell a spread in order to fund a spread that is then on the, say, $20-$22. And what we try to do is create a trade with maybe a healthy portion of our portfolio that is slightly over break even. But should that fear come in to play and it spikes the VIX, it creates a big payday for us. So that's one trade that we're just rolling out week in, week out. And then besides that, we're like, for instance, this week, we're looking for a nice bottom in some steady stocks that we know can survive, like General Motors, looking at General Motors. And then we'll be, you know, selling premium against General Motors over the next months as it every time it peaks, we'll leg into a selling position, buy a protective call and just keep rolling those things out. So those are the type of positions we've been getting into. And so if you want to learn more about that, just visit me at TradingTrainer.com.
AJ, thank you very much.
Oh, can I also say one more thing that we're watching is repos. So you guys have been talking about commercial real estate, but car repossessions have been really taking height too. So I've been looking at that as well.
Yep. Good call. And then Mike.
So Michael, David, AJ, Dave, everybody, nice to be on here. It's been a long time. It was great to be back. If you want to get a hold of me, you can go to smartoptiontrading.com. You can catch me on Twitter or X at Options Mike. I always post a ton of stuff there for free, including every weekend I do a whole bunch of charts, guys. And I don't, you know, they're just free. They're out there. So you take a look at it if you want to use them or not. And if you want to join me, it's $25 for the first 30 days. It's the price of two drinks. Come to get to know me. You like me, you don't, you stay. You don't like me, it costs you two drinks. So we'll see how it goes. You were asking about ODT. So what's going on with these day trading options, whether in the SPY or the SPX or the ES, is there, you know, it kind of is now, you know, gone to the dog wagging the tail whole thing here, and the tail wagging the dog, is that these options are basically driving the market moves because they're so heavily traded that the market wants to have all this premium expire worthless. So the market is moving against whatever the heavy load up is. So if they're loading heavily on calls, the market's trying to go into put, you know, it's trying to come down because they move so fast and they decay so fast, they can easily manipulate these options. And they're just being used as a hedge or to drive the market one way or the other. And it's just completely changed how that market is trading intraday. And that's why you get these moves like this, these choppy moves, because they're just trying to prem out all these daily options.
Well, real quick, I know we're out of time, but what would be your strategy for that? Kind of a reversion to the mean type of strategy? Or because it seems like they're nailing the strikes a lot, yep, especially if I get long options.
Oh, they were drilling the 442 puts for the SPY today all morning as we went up. I mean, there was 250,000 of them before we hit the high of the day on that 10:30 pop. And they knew. They knew exactly what they were going to do. They were going to come up here to the 21 day, which we hit, and they were going to yank it. And you just have to watch for that, and you just wait for it.
They actually do it, and I know we're pressing for time, David. I hope you don't mind. What really goes on behind that, if you're looking at the larger players that are in there doing it, they need to monetize either the put or the call. So you'll get that rally. You got that rally this morning, and we're straight up to that level. We were right up to it.
Yep.
And that everything's monetized, boom, you can go down now. And what happens, boom, it goes straight down. So a lot of it has to do with, again, gamma flow. And if you can just really understand gamma flow as it relates to the option and the movement in the underlying, that's a very important factor, David, that you might want to try to, you know, swirl around and see what you can find out about that. Again, I'm Michael Filiguera. I am the head chief and bottle washer, cook and bottle washer for TradersHelpingTraders.com and LogicalSignals.com. I also have two channels on YouTube, and you can find them under Traders Helping Traders, and also you could find it under my name. So you can search either one within YouTube. I update I call it the Elliott Wave Update, and then on the weekends I do an Eye of the Storm podcast. And both are going to just be updating either the big picture or the day-to-day picture for the S&P and the NASDAQ. I also, on the weekend, I will include the treasury markets. And at times I include gold and silver and the dollar, all subjects that we just really don't have enough time within our time frame. I really enjoyed myself today very, very much. One last thing that I also want to add, I also have a trade room. I think Mike, you have a trade room. And AJ, I think you have a trade room. Mm-hmm. And Dave, maybe you do as well.
Facebook group that's for members only. So same sort of thing. It's
kind same of sort group. Of deal.
Yeah.
My trade room is basically set up because we are day traders. So my focus is going to be on, I just did that by accident and I need to put that in my show. I was going to try to show my other screen and kept forgetting I'm screen sharing this one. But we're day trading. And so there's a whole different set of rules that kind of go in with day trading, and we're following price action and moving averages, et cetera, et cetera. But we're really down to, I'll show you, I'm down to a 1 minute and a 2 minute chart and lots of trades. You're in there to catch these types of et cetera, et cetera. So again, thank you all. And thank you, David, for putting this together. What great fun it was for all three of us or all four of us here today. And so I want to thank you for including us all and turn it back over to you.
Yes. Excellent episode. So thank you all for being here. Great episode number 400 and the 9th anniversary. So it's funny that they happen to fall on the same day. And this was a great episode. So thank you, everyone. And just a quick reminder, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast app. And also on Substack now. And you can also just go to timingresearch.com to get access to the recording of this show as soon as I can get it posted, as well as any of the past 9 years of shows and events. They're all still on there. So also just a reminder, the next big thing we have coming up is next week. We have our Fibonacci and Elliott Wave 2023 conference event. So that'll be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And that'll start at 10 a.m. Eastern time each day. And we're going to have about eight presentations each day. So about 8 hours of education each of those days. And Michael Filiguera is scheduled to be the first presenter on Wednesday. So it's another big event. I just want to thank my guests again for today. So Dave Landry of DaveLandry.com, great having you back.
Thank you.
And AJ Brown of TradingTrainer.com. So it was great having you on CFN again. You're regular on the Synergy Trader events, but great having you on here. And Mike Bassani of smartoptiontrading.com. Great to talk to you again.
Thank you very much.
And Michael Filiguera of logicalsignals.com and Traders Helping Traders. Thank you for being on and moderating this special episode. All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Hey, who's